It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Martha McCallum, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, January 20th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. Over and over again, we've heard about billions of dollars worth of military aid being sent to help Ukraine fight off this Russian invasion. Today, though, we're hearing about some of the specifics on what exactly that money's buying. All this while many top military experts say this is a possible make or break point in this war.
The U.S. is doing all it can to get the allies to give enough weapons so that Zelensky and the Ukrainians can push the Russians back.
This is the Fox News Rundown. Evening edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Can you believe it? We're approaching the 1-year mark of this Russian invasion of Ukraine, and military leaders don't want to add any more time onto how long this conflict is going to drag out. So Western countries, led by the United States, are doing everything they can to help Ukraine. Recently, there was a big meeting of military minds in Germany about how to best help them.
Well, 54 defense chiefs were invited by the U.S. military. Defense Secretary Austin, General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, were there.
We're speaking today with Fox News Chief National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin over at the Pentagon.
And the goal of this, what they call the contact group, is to basically, it's a donors conference for Ukraine military needs. And this is, you know, the 8th meeting since last April of this kind of donor conference. And today was the largest yet, the one of the largest to date. And the U.S. announced it was giving $2.5 billion in weapons. The package includes armor and air defense systems, particularly, and this is what's really impressive, there are Patriot missiles, Stryker vehicles, Bradley fighting vehicles, Avenger air defense systems, high mobility, multipurpose wheeled vehicles, all sorts of artillery rounds, nearly 3 million rounds of small arms ammunition, 100,000 rounds of artillery, mortar shells. This is a very large donation. And if you look at the other countries that are donating, Estonia is spending 1% of its GDP on military aid to Ukraine. Germany is the second largest donor in the after the United States. They announced another $1 billion in aid today. What was absent in the discussion that just ended at Ramstein is any announcement that the U.S. or Germany would be sending tanks. And that is what President Zelensky says he needs in these next few weeks to really launch a major counteroffensive against the Russians. And those tanks have been tied up in all sorts of domestic politics in Germany, they have a new defense minister there. I'm told that there could be an announcement, but it may still take several weeks.
This kind of reminds me of early on in the war where Poland was offering to send fighter jets as long as the United States replaced their fighter jets with new ones. But that wasn't authorized, despite the fact Ukraine wanted it. Now Ukraine wants more tanks. Let's first talk, Jennifer, specifically, what is Volodymyr Zelensky going to do with these tanks?
Well, these tanks are really important, particularly if Zelensky and the Ukrainian military tries to break the Russian military in half and really cut off the supply lines and move towards Crimea. That's been a sort of a no-go zone for a lot of the weaponry that the U.S. military has sent so far and that the White House has authorized have not included the long-range artillery that could really strike into Crimea as well as deep into Russia. All of this has kind of shifted in recent months, where there is a recognition in the next month or so that there needs to be large advances by the Ukrainian military on the battlefield to push the Russians back. And one of the best ways for them to do that is to cut off their supply lines to Crimea. That's where the Russians are launching those Iranian-made drones from. They have bases there. And so these tanks really are going to be needed to move quickly and to fire precisely and at long distances. is. Well, that was one of the concerns that I think that allies like Germany. Germany is not opposed to providing their Leopard tanks. There are about 2,000 of these advanced tank systems across Europe, but they do want to do it in lockstep with the United States. And there was some talk that if the U.S. would give M1 Abrams tanks, that Germany would feel more comfortable authorizing their Leopard tanks. So it's been held up. The U.S. and the Pentagon says that they don't want to give M1 Abrams because they are the wrong kind of tank to be used in Ukraine right now because they rely on jet fuel. They're a lot more sophisticated and technical and take more training and so the and maintenance as well. They require a lot of maintenance. So they prefer that Germany and other European countries provide the Leopard tanks. Again, this is all getting caught up in sort of concerns that keeping NATO united and keeping the allies united and not creating any sort of imbalance. But at the same time, there's a race against the clock and a recognition both at the Pentagon, White House, and in European capitals that time is running out for the Ukrainians and they have to have these weapons if they're going to launch this counteroffensive in the coming weeks.
But the fact that these military leaders are getting together and having these conversations really does show that a lot of these countries are on the same page. And it's nice to hear that a country with another large economy, another large military like Germany was getting involved too. But it's a little discouraging to hear that they're waiting for the United States to make a move. We know that there is a new chancellor in Germany, Olaf Scholz. The former chancellor, Angela Merkel, actually had a pretty close relationship with Vladimir Putin, didn't she? So do you think that there's even more geopolitics playing out here with this specific situation?
I think there's a lot of hand-wringing right now about Germany and what they are doing. Germany obviously has the largest economy in Europe and can do a lot more than its neighbors. However, Germany, it is important to remember the facts, and the facts are that Germany is the second largest donor to Ukraine militarily after the United States. They announced another $1 billion in not only a Patriot missile system, but also other artillery and other very important weapon systems. So Germany is doing things. It's just that they are very deliberative and the changing government there's a lot of domestic politics at play, as there are in all of these capitals. If you look at Turkey and Hungary, they're holding up the accession of Finland and Sweden to join NATO. That's very frustrating to the other allies. The U.S. is in a unique position as the leader of the alliance to try and keep the alliance together. And that often takes a lot of very frustrating diplomacy. And that's what you're seeing play out. But I think if you really are fair-minded and look at what was donated today at the donors conference in Ramstein, it is a huge amount of weaponry. And Ukraine, while they may not be getting the tanks today, it's not been ruled out that they will get them in the near future.
The logistics of sending $2.5 billion of modern military equipment into a very hot war zone are super complex, and the United States military is working with a number of other countries to get all this done. We are working today with Fox News Chief National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin, who's at the Pentagon, giving us her assessment of the war and why we may be at a critical stage right now, especially for Ukraine. Much more comes your way next. We've given a lot to Ukraine so far, Jennifer, a lot of that coming in the form of military equipment. And a lot of that military equipment, where exactly is it coming from? Because you're doing a report today about the United States using weapon stockpiles from other places around the world to ship to Ukraine. Now, some of those places don't specifically want to be sending military equipment into this region. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Well, the issue of stockpiles is very important. The issue of supply chains in terms of the defense industrial complex producing enough weapons. And so the U.S. is digging into its stockpiles. And what's interesting is the Pentagon has requested that U.S. forces Korea send the 155-millimeter howitzer artillery ammunition. The Ukrainians are using a lot of that artillery howitzer ammunition on the battlefield. This is a request in addition to the 100,000 artillery rounds that South Korea is going to sell the U.S. to send to Ukraine. U.S. is tapping into stockpiles of artillery rounds that they are storing in Israel. Both Israel and South Korea have pledged not to send weapons to Ukraine. So this is a kind of workaround that the U.S. is using to get at ammunition. There are a lot of these deals being made around the globe that the U.S. is piecing together weapons systems and ammunition to keep the weapons flowing to Ukraine. I think it's important to point out, though, John, if you look at the amount of money, because there's been some hand-wringing in Congress from some Republicans who feel that too much money is being spent, too many weapons are being sent to Ukraine. And if you look at how much the U.S. has committed in the last year since February, it's $26.7 billion since Russia invaded. For context, the U.S. spent $2.3 trillion in Afghanistan over 20 years. That's about $300 million a day when the U.S. military is fighting on the ground. The U.S. military is not fighting on the ground in Ukraine. They're providing weapons. So the weapons the U.S. has provided so far are really the equivalent of less than 90 days of fighting during the Afghan war.
Jennifer, we're coming up on a year of this war in Ukraine. We know that the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Mark Milley, he was in the area speaking to the top military leader face-to-face from Ukraine. He's also addressing this conference that we're talking about here. One of the things he said at a press conference is that it's likely this particular war is going to end at the negotiating table. But here we are. This conflict's dragged on for a lot longer than some had anticipated. How do you think the Pentagon assesses where we are in this war effort right now?
I think the Pentagon fears, and everybody fears, that this could turn into a 20-year war if it is not, if the Ukrainians do not make progress quickly. That's why there's a push to get them the weapons they need so that they can continue. I mean, let's not forget, the Russians have done extremely poorly in the last year. They thought they could take Kyiv in 10 days. They have suffered. They've lost more than 120,000 people. That's an incredible number of people on the battlefield. Ukrainians also have had huge losses. However, the Ukrainians have outperformed with every weapon system that the U.S. and others other allies have given them. They want to keep fighting. They want to keep fighting and gain back as much territory in the next few months. And I think the thinking at the Pentagon is, and you've heard General Milley articulate this, that the more that Ukraine can gain in the next few months, then the likelihood of Russia perhaps agreeing to sit at a negotiating table. And since most wars are ended at the negotiating table, that puts Ukraine in a stronger position and to end this war, which is so bloody and so destructive, to end it quickly. But the possibility of this dragging out and ending in a stalemate and with Russia being able to carry on is sending such fear across Europe, because there is a belief that President Putin will not stop at Ukraine. He plans to expand the borders of Russia, and he has to lose. And that is what the message at this donors conference was. That's the message from President Zelensky. You had the CIA chief, Bill Burns, who flew to Ukraine in the last week to meet with Zelensky to outline what Russian plans are on the battlefield in the next few weeks. The U.S. is doing all it can to get the allies to give enough weapons so that Zelensky and the Ukrainians can push the Russians back.
And we are at a critical moment in trying to do that, so we'll definitely stay on top of all this. Jennifer Griffin is our Fox's chief national security correspondent. She's over at the Pentagon working the phones, as always. Jennifer, thanks for taking some time to hang with us here on the Fox's Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Some really good insight there today.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.